Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. This is L.A. Steele. Here by myself tonight, we got George Dixon coming up in a few minutes. Lila had to go to Washington, D.C. today to visit her daughter. She'll be gone for a few days. But we are here to man the forts and the phones. And tonight, George is going to be talking about the sixth night of the Mayan calendar, since we have just entered it, I believe, as of November 5th, which was yesterday. And I got George on the line, so let's start.
Leo.
Hey, George. How are
you? How
you
doing?
Pretty good, thanks. Pretty good. Yeah. So what's the buff there, buddy?
I don't know. The sixth night is starting out with a bang, that's for sure.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, the incident the last couple of days?
Unbelievable, George.
Kind of scary.
Well, you know, I was doing a little research on this guy, this supposedly shooter, which is he's supposed to be alive, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yes. He was in the hospital. He's got multiple wounds, I think.
But he's stable. And I think he's conscious.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what he has to say about this.
You know, it's really interesting about this guy. That's why I'm thinking mind control, you know. And mind control, probably. I mean, this guy's prime for that. He was fast-tracked, I guess, through the military, and he became a major.
Mm-hmm.
And as a psychiatrist. And I was reading a couple articles today on this, pretty specific. One was Washington Post, and the other was another Newsmax, I think it was. And interesting that they what this guy was. I believe it. He may have been triggered, as
an scapegoat.
You know? Not a scapegoat. I think he might have been a real plant.
Mm-hmm.
Mind control plant. Somebody getting in there to.
And what is the purpose of the mind control plant? What would they want to do with that?
Well, the same as a suicide bomber. They get them ready for the big moment when they need them.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes berserk. But there was another article that said that the guy was. They were having problems with this guy for quite a while, and they were recognizing that he was having mental problems, issues.
Okay.
So the FBI even had a warrant, but they were watching him, suspected him because of his website, and he was anti-war and pro-Arab.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know. I don't know, George. I don't even care. I'm just sad this poor bastard got blown up the other day.
Yeah, it's kind of scary what happened there. But heaven knows what the circumstances are surrounding it. But
I keep thinking that it happened on November 5th, which not only signifies the first day of the Mayan calendar, but it also was V-Day. The day they tried to blow up the British Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And is still celebrated in England and in some places. And they did a big movie on it called V. But I was V for Vengeance, I think it was. And I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out the connection. It looks like there may be, because all the globalist things, all the Illuminati stuff that's been done is always done on a coded day,
mm-hmm.
A specific day. I think this office thing in the it's kind of weird. The copycat killing type of thing, I guess. I don't know what that one was.
Well, Leo, there's too many things that you got to throw into the pool here. First of all, this wasn't a crazy person. This was a medical doctor. This was a psychiatrist. And even though they said he was at Walter Reed Army Hospital there for a while, and they, I guess, didn't care for his tactics or he didn't draw the line or ride the line like he should have. And who's to say that, you know, he just had enough? You know, it's kind of hard to try to talk some of these servicemen who want to get out, who want to back out, but yet they're forced into doing another tour. I mean, that's hell within hell, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's like a contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure he has some feelings for some of these people, and, you know, he can't tell the guys one thing and do another. You know, he's got to be truthful with them, and maybe he's had about as enough as he could take.
Well, I think that's what happened there, but that could very well be. But there's also that question. It was November 5th, and that the guy was, I'm sure he had lots to do with mind control and different experiments and things that went on. And it turns out that the guy was still, he claimed himself a Palestinian, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well.
Yeah, unfortunately, nobody saw the signs. They saw the signs, but nobody did anything about it, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well, what could you actually do about it? You know, let's look at it from a Mayan point of view in a sixth night. Actually, what's happening is that, you know, these dreams are becoming reality. When I say these dreams, you're dealing with a conscious and a subconscious.
Oh,
or actually,
I never thought of that, George. You're right. I totally forgot about that. This is the emergence of the subconscious now.
Regardless of the paradigm that a person is involved with, you know, they have their own paradigm going on in the meanwhile. And here it's just being caught in the middle.
Yeah, I understand. But I think, yeah, exactly. But now we're at a point now where we are about to, our unconscious is about to take over, isn't it, in this period?
Well, who's to say, you know, the subconscious...
Will we be losing our polarity, or, you know, to become more one at this point, as more centered, or will we, you know, I mean, what's going to happen in this sixth night?
Well, you become your reality, or you become your fantasy, and your fantasy is played out. And, you know, from a three-dimensional level, you're fulfilling it not only in the third dimension, but also the fourth dimension.
Right.
The dream state. So it's like a waking dream. And, you know, it's like having a walking in your sleep, but not being aware of the consciousness, you know, that you're attached to and, you know, the wake of it.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
This is what the sixth night is all about, because there is no polarity, good or bad. Whatever you're drawn to, you're going to manifest, and it depends your character or you know where your focus is.
Wow.
Even from a good or bad perspective.
Right. Wow. I can understand that. It's,
I mean, you know, if you're a good person, you know, you're going to draw good things to you. But if you're a sleaze, you know, you're gonna draw that sleaze bag of tricks around you and the people that you associate with.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that, you know, it's going to manifest itself.
Right.
And, you know, I feel bad for this fellow, for this officer who was put in that situation where, you know.
Yeah, it was either kill or be killed, I guess, for him.
No.
And I don't know. Yeah, you know, there's a point.
I wonder if you believe in reincarnation or karma.
Yeah, right. But you know, there's a lot of what makes me question this guy's motives is now when I just thought about it is that if we are merging into that sixth night.
Yes.
There is some validity to understanding the fear, the thought crimes bill, you know, that came about back a couple of years ago.
What crimes bill? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Right, the thought crimes bill.
Oh, okay.
That allows you to arrest you for your thoughts. Okay?
Right, yeah.
Hate crimes, you know. stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, but that can be done now. But the thing that's really amazing is that it's almost as an anticipation of what is about to happen, right? Because mm-hmm. as thoughts become quickly turned into realities, all right,
mm-hmm.
the most bizarre thoughts that we now have are the most, dream state thoughts that we have.
Right, yeah.
Will now start to manifest into our consciousness, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, we got to really be careful.
Sure.
What the hell is going on? I mean, what's going on around us? Because we have no idea what people are thinking.
Be careful what you pray for, because you're...
Yeah, really, really. My God, you know. And you really got to be careful. But I don't know.
Or I should say, during this ninth night, you know, you will manifest whatever you dream about. You
really?
Will draw that to you, and that's the problem here. You know, nothing is hidden; everything is exposed, and your intent.
You know what? You know that's much more. What you're saying is much more profound, I think, than it sounds, mm-hmm. and the fact that. We are more viewed at this time, I mean, voluntarily viewed. And people are making porno webcams and, doing all kinds of crazy stuff just to get the attention on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, we are being viewed in ways that, just like we're being listened to right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the only way that you can be perfectly... at ease with that concept of being watched or listened to,
mm-hmm.
is that you make all of your controversial or opinions or political opinions public. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're going to be watching you anyway, so you might as well make everything public. That let them judge you. Who the hell cares? You know what I'm saying? That's the way I see it. That's the way I've been operating for 10 years on this thing.
Well, how about on a personal basis, Leo? There's a reason why you've been involved with broadcasting, and what do you like out of it?
Oh, geez. I like everything about it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that people can listen to you, that you can express your opinions, which I have many, and... it's a great process for expressing yourself and having others express themselves in a forum like we're doing right now, you know.
Well, you think this continues on from a past life that you had?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. Somehow I'm sure I was some kind of something, you know. I had to have been, either I was... I don't know what I was. I don't know. I did a past life regression at one time, and I was a knight, a Templar, who had been who was tortured and at the stake, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I wasn't really too happy about that.
No, I guess not.
It was kind of a frightening scenario that I had. I mean, a frightening mm-hmm. Dream. It wasn't a dream. It was a regression. And I have had a number of lives, quite a few lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I'm beginning to believe that more and more, you know. You remember Maria's friend, Joan Calgren? Have you ever met her or talked to her?
Mm-hmm.
She does the karmic astrology.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did she ever do a reading for you?
No.
Yeah, she did one for me. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Did one for Lila, too. And she says that I decided to come back reluctantly to Earth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Be reincarnated. And reluctantly, but I had come back, because I had a lot of, had a very, very difficult journey ahead of me, okay? I had chosen a very ambitious path, you know, destiny. And she, 'cause she says we choose our own destinies.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we come to into the earth, so before we reincarnate. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, she said I was in for a long ride that was my reason for being here.
Okay.
So I said, oh, that's really interesting. I had no idea that I was here to just be a pain in the ass to everybody.
Well, have you had enough or what?
Huh?
Have you had enough or what? Do you want to move on?
To where?
Oh, I don't know, Leo.
To the next level, yeah.
Well, that's where I'd like to I'd like to go.
I know.
That's where I'm planning on going.
I'm really anxious about that. Maybe the concept of moving on to a different dimension.
Well, I think this is what the elders are telling us. It's time that we're all moving on, if we like it or not. But it's
Yeah,
it's being done on a massive scale, and all of creation, you know, from all levels are feeling the ramifications of this. You know, it's not just us.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, time is speeding up, but it's not time. You know, the options that are available to us are there, and they're much stronger, just like the energies, you know, the energies around us, even with our sun and so forth. You know, everything is affected.
Yeah. Well, what I like recently, in the recent news, is that Gore has been exposed for a fraud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with this global warming thing. So I think that's exciting. You know, we're starting to see a lot more fraud being exposed, you know?
Well, I think the fraud is, you know, what they're trying to do with this carbon tax. What the hell are they talking about, a carbon tax? Now they're taxing farmers for the amount of methane that the cows give off?
Yeah,
they can tell that by the size of the herd?
What are they going to do, put a fartometer in your bathroom to find you if you're over X amount of sulfides or something in your system, you know? too much methane in his system. We have to charge him 25 cents extra per fart, you know?
Yeah, so, well, how they get away with it, and they call it a different name now.
Yeah,
it's not the window tax, it's the fart tax, but it's covered under the carbon tax. And, you know, it's just a new way for these new worlders or these people in control to get more revenue.
Yeah.
To keep it going.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a joke. But I think, you know, you could see right through it. It's going to fall apart.
I hope so.
Well, you know, we may be helping, you know, the environment or not helping the environment. But Mother Nature has a way of itself of regenerating and recultivating itself. So, you know, as much as we think that we have control, we don't. Mother Nature has control over the whole situation. And this happens in cycles. This goes into a cycle where we'll go into an ice age and, you know, we'll bury ourselves for 90,000 years in ice. And then for the next 12,000 years, you know, the sun will come out and, you know, we'll... plants grow again, you know. you know, it's something that happens on a basis or on a natural basis, and it's a cycle. It follows a cycle.
So what do you think? What do you think we'll turn into?
What we'll turn into?
Yeah. What do you think we'll evolve into? I'm curious to know if we'd probably keep our same forms, or if we would, you know, bodies, or if there would be no bodies, or...
I think the point in that is dissolving the bodies, or dissolving any connection to the body here, because that is what holds you here.
Right.
Is because of you know, what you left behind, something that is yours, it won't be remembered until it's gone. And it's only through time and through natural means that that will recover itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the thoughts and the energy that holds it together that gives it what it is. And, you know, it's funny, when we do have these pole shifts, what happens is, like, the Akashic record is erased, and it's with people that their memory is erased, and what we have to do is relearn all over again, or reprogram, reboot up again. And that's what we're going to be going through.
Yeah. But the Akashic records, I mean, how do they get all screwed up? I mean, you would think of something that sophisticated, that kind of a program of Akashic records would be immune to any kind of earthquakes or polar shifts or anything else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is affected, but I'm sure there are backups.
I would think so, but,
yeah.
You know, it just takes 13,000 years to reboot, I guess, you know?
Well, yeah, it's rebooting again, and you could put that rebooting, I think, in the last 15,000 years.
Yeah.
Because it was in that time span that they put reincarnation or the understanding karma into our spiritual ways, because if not, it's like falling over the edge of the world. You know, once you go over, you know, it's all over with. But
not past life, but a life reading. They call it life reading, I guess.
Yeah.
And they do it with seven cards. And the lady was and she told me that I was in my seventh life, all right, and that this was the end. I wouldn't be reincarnated anymore.
Is that right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she says, what happens is those people that are in their seventh life, all right, are those that they come back either as, they usually come back as poets, or some can come back as priests or writers or things like that. They come back as our artists, you know.
So what did you come back as, a priest or the artist or the writer?
All. These types of people that take on those roles in their lives are people that are in their last life, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They're now becoming vessels of their kind of, well, I say vessels, I guess they are, of expression of their own past lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, in some state of that seventh life, it's been so long ago now, I might misinterpret it now, but she did say that that was your, that's your last life, when you take on these roles, or in your life, it means that you're ending your cycle of reincarnations,
mm-hmm.
And now you're at the point where you're expressing the knowledge and wisdoms and, you know, insights and things like that, and that becomes your life's purpose, right? You take on a full purpose in your life. So for that reason, because it's the end of your earthly cycle, and you'll be moving on.
But that's been happening since about 1999, Leo,
yeah.
when we entered this new period, where
right.
That has been happening, like with reincarnation and karma. This
works
is it.
On the seventh day thing, you know, the 7 days, and that's kind of where we're at now, isn't it?
Well,
where we're at cosmically, consciously, and dimensionally, you know.
Well, yeah, dimensionally, but I think what we're experiencing now is wrapping up of the karma residue that we've left through other lives. And, you know, I've mentioned before that...
That's exactly what I'm saying. I meant, yeah, the cosmic residue, that's a good way of putting it. It's like, it's like even now in this conversation tonight, it's kind of like some wrapping up some cosmic residue. We're trying to establish the vision of the entire...
process.
Yeah, the process, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's remarkable, George. Yeah. So
well, if nothing, it's the releasement. But you know, in releasing ourselves, even our consciousness, this sixth ninth is very important, because what it is it's a chance that we can go out and not only express ourselves in the physical world, but also the mental world at the same time, or the astral world. And here there's no limitations or good or bad, because there is no discretion between the two. And here it's the through your intent, or where you are, the nature of your intent is exposed for, you know, what you're attracted to or what you draw to yourself.
Yeah,
so,
no,
now...
I fully think I understand. And it's very odd because years ago, I wrote an article on it called Altering World Reality.
Yeah.
And it was I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not. It's about a guy who believed it was a book I had read from a fellow named Neville, and he gave many. He was a mystic, and he gave. He passed away in the late 70s, early 80s, I think. But he worked as a healer, all right, in California and around the country. And what he did is he wrote this book called The Promise, and it was about real stories about the people he coached and the things that he did, where it was totally through visualization that he was able to create. People were able to heal themselves and be have great windfalls and luck and whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They imagined it. It was the power of the imagination and visualization that got it. That he was talking about. And I did several shows on his works. Maybe, I don't know, 9 or 10 years ago. And he said that you can alter world reality. But you know what? The most amazing thing that he said in that book was that prophets are not people who see the future. Prophets are those who see the way of the future. See the way the future is that they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, they're not just seers. What they are is they're visionaries. You know?
Yeah.
And they see a world like Martin Luther King when he said, I have a dream, right? And Mahatma Gandhi and so
right.
many other these other people. They had these dreams of unification or
that's right, yeah,
civil rights and so on, and they became that. They walked into that role, and they you think about Martin Luther King, you immediately think of civil rights.
Who's to say that this this fellow there in Fort Hood didn't have his own crusade going on
it seems like he did, didn't it? It seems like he was on a mission, which maybe the jihad.
Possibly, but you know, this is how it was played out.
Oh yeah.
See, Leo, right now with our technology and so forth, he has everything available to him to do whatever you know that would call for. You know, you take a look at these shootings down in Florida, I think. And, you know, how could a person, first of all, get a firearm and so forth and kill these people? Understand that, you know, if you turn on TV, you know, any day of the week, it's violence as, you know, part of our in-ground evolution.
Yeah.
That, you know, just because, you know, it's a TV show doesn't make it real. But, you know, they can make it real, make something unreal real, and yet people believe that it's real. And they see it, and they do it themselves. I mean, it's like, how can you tell a person, they can't imagine, you know, they're a fantasy in which they've been allowed to imagine to begin with, and second of all, it's been pepped up by just the complacency of our lifestyle. So who's to blame? But here again, you know, it's very easy for a person to get locked into this mode of operandi, if you'd want to call it that. You know, you wake up, you go to work, you punch your time clock, come home, and, enjoy the wife and family.
Yeah.
It's a routine.
Well, that guy, the guy that did Florida, right, that did that shooting in Florida, what, he got laid out, or he got fired like 2 years before, like in 2007.
Yeah.
And he was blaming them, saying that you hung me out to dry or whatever. I guess that was his statement. And they fired him, and then they interviewed the boss or one of the personnel or whatever.
Right.
Said that he was fired because he was doing a lousy job, you know, and his quality wasn't there, and he was I guess he was an accountant or something. And so they had to fire him, and after that he couldn't get hired anywhere, and he became despondent and went in and shot them all up. It's pretty terrible. I remember in Connecticut there was a lotto at the lotto office. This was about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a bit more. Where a guy named Otto or something, Otto from the lotto or something like that. And he walked in. He was an ex-employee who got fired, and then he walked in with a shotgun and killed three people, I think, and wounded a few others. He targeted them all. They were all people at the who ran Lotto in Connecticut. There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was quite a big story. But he went ballistic, and. I don't know. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more of that now, with people losing their jobs. Now that unemployment is now at officially at 10%.
Leo, I think now we're going to be hearing more of these events that are going on around the country. And believe me, there's been a lot of stuff going on.
Back about a year ago or so, when the first wave of layoffs and everything happened, when General Motors and everywhere else.
Yeah.
You suddenly had a wave of this kind of stuff happen. There was another couple of mass shootings,
mm-hmm.
and a wife, a husband killing the wife and the family, or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
they had a guy here in Connecticut who burned his house down. Yeah.
Well, Leo, we talked last week about the news media, where the news are against one another, just like how the Fox network, I think, is banged up on the. The White House, or the White House now is after Fox Network.
I don't buy into that. I heard that wasn't true.
Well, either way, it is the truth.
I don't know.
It's all ratings, Leo.
But they're getting more mileage. I mean, you know who's beating up the most on Fox, and whose Fox beats up the most on?
Who's that?
CNBC.
All right.
And CNBC. They got Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow, those guys, and they're constantly beating up on Fox News, right?
Yeah.
And so they're owned by the same. They're owned. They're cooperatively owned, Fox and NBC. Okay.
Oh.
They have an agreement where they share their own people and their talents and. All kinds of things. So they're corporately owned together.
Mm. I'm waiting.
Bought into Microsoft, and they merged with Microsoft and bought out that thing, MSNBC.
Well, maybe so, but right now I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop here. And first of all, what happened yesterday with Fort Hood? It's just the start of something that there's a lot of tension that's being built up in the military, a lot of tension in the military. But what's been going on with the Bush administration how they've been kicked around, and of course now kicked around with the benefits and so forth.
Constantly being deployed stuff is ridiculous. I mean, why?
Well,
or two deployments. But no, you know, these guys go back three or four times, you know what I mean?
The Army has to answer for all these young men who are out on the streets right now or come home and have some real problems, you know, with reality or with getting back involved with the community again. And, you know, I think the government has to take responsibility, and this is something that they're going to have to do.
Yeah. I hear you.
Well, yeah, it's, first of all, you know, we'll see how the military handles this, because there's a lot of pressure on them right now, and especially this Afghanistan situation, that scares the hell out of me. I don't know what the hell is going on there, but the last I know, last I heard, that you know, we got more troops going there, even though we got troops coming out of Iraq. I think by promise by the end of 2010. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, George. Sounds wild.
All I know is Obama was supposed to bring these guys home right away, but that didn't work out. So who's to say, you know?
I don't know. I think that I when does the sixth night end? Is that the October? Is that November 2000? No, I'm sorry, October 28th, 2011.
No, of 2010.
Really?
Then we go into the seventh day.
Oh, so we have to ride the whole 7 day.
Yes. And then the seventh day is the end of the cycle.
Yeah, but there's no seventh night. That doesn't continue.
That's
so,
right.
Oh, wow.
But there are 60 days. I believe 60 days. 260 days? I'd have to... anyway.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
For the seventh day? I don't know. I'm all confused. Like, the sixth night, right?
Right.
Is what, a year?
Yes.
Right. So it's November 5th through to December 5th.
No, to November, probably November the 1st of 2010.
Oh, okay.
And the seventh day will last to October 24th of 2011. And from that October 11th to 2012 is the final countdown.
Okay. I get it.
So, in the meanwhile, we got this whole night scene coming at us. And if nothing else, it's everything that we've imagined or we've built upon or we've thought about is going to be brought to its finest or its fellation, and that's what's happening in the sixth night. So anything that we put our mind into, our hopes into manifesting, will manifest, including you know, the level of manifestation.
Right. I think I follow.
Well.
I'm looking forward to it. I have to say, George, it's a lot of fun to look forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, not to fritter away your mind or your life and waiting for that to happen, but it's just, it kind of gives you a perk every day to kind of say, what's going to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is going to happen? And to kind of visualize your the scenario, to visualize the best things that could happen. You know what I mean? I set out my course during the day now, and I kind of like started to say, what's the best things that could happen to me today?
Mm-hmm.
And I start to think about it. And generally, one or two of those things might happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool, I guess. I'm not exactly sure, but it's almost like wish fulfillment, you know?
Uh-huh.
You wish for something and it happens. You know, it's really a wonderful thing.
Yeah, but what you got to watch out for, what you wish not to happen,
right?
That's going to happen.
Oh yeah, you don't want that either. Like, you know, wishing what not to happen. Yeah,
Yeah, but that's going to happen because, you know, one doesn't take priority over the other. So it's a matter of what you hold more dear to you or more closely, or what you'd rather spend more time with. And, you know, it's like, what the bleep do we know, you know? It's how many rabbit holes that you want to go down and investigate or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
A rabbit hole is a rabbit hole.
That's right. It is.
Yeah. So at this point in understanding this third-dimensional life, the trick is now forgetting about those rabbit holes and walking away from them. And that is part of the reality that we have to learn, that we have to let go of this third-dimensional reality and rise above it. And, you know, it's like when you leave this earth, it's disconnecting yourself with anything and everything. And let's say if you had a gold cup with your name on it and so forth, you know, even though you've died, your family's died, but that cup has a connection to it with a reality that holds you as owner of that cup, or you for who you are, will be around until that cup is destroyed. And understanding that there are things that this earth, that the earth has to recycle, and it does recycle by these natural changing of energies. And understanding when we have a pole shift and so forth, that it's the molecular structure that we've manipulated to produce, let's say, a bridge or a piece of steel or something fabricated, that it holds a consciousness or an understanding that made it for what it is. But over a period of time, if it has nothing to hold itself together or structure, it will just dissolve back into its natural form. And that's why most monuments or things from the past, the time that they could stay is by the life of their natural substance. Just like the pyramids are stone monuments, you know.
Right.
They'll last as long as a stone survives the eroding of through weather, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting.
But, you know, it's the same process with us, or even... we as consciousness in a third dimensional reality draw things together, and it's like an artificial thing. And if we leave that thing and not give it any more thought or consciousness or energy, it will just dissolve back into where it came from. And that is part of the whole purpose of us, that by dropping something, you know, we could leave this instead of it being attached to us. And a part of these past life attachments that we have, that you know, it's things that we must have in our, let's say, our spiritual understanding, and that is not true. And it's through lifetimes we're able to drop things or dissolve things in a natural process.
Yeah, I hear you, George. I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm kind of looking forward to time when you can, you know, just make everything happen the way you want it to.
Yeah, but Leo, you can do that now in your everyday thinking by just thinking that way. And, you know, there's not a process you have to go through, initiation. The only step that you have to do is by thinking it or feeling it or experiencing it. And it's just imagining something and feeling the emotional experience from it, instead of worrying about how, you know, you can make that reality real. It's real just by the experiences or the feelings that you get from it. And that's just another way of creating things.
But it just seems to take a lot longer. But if we no longer have a... If it's coming to a point where we no longer have a sense of time and space, then everything is happening in the present, and everything manifests within the present. So I guess that's what I'm anxious for, is to see these things. Like right now, I'm trying to. I've got a number of projects that I wish I had more time and more focus to finish them. And this book that I have coming out is taking my all my time, my spare time, and I find it difficult to have it manifest as quickly as I want it to, because there's just so much to do, and the revisions and the timetables and the schedules and so on and so forth, to hopefully have it out at a certain time. And I'm hoping to have the book out November 15th. That's mm-hmm. my goal date. But I don't know if that's going to happen with the printers. They say they can do it all as long as they can finish up the cover design. And I've got that all set for them, and they're working with that. And so that should probably take 3 weeks, maybe. And then it goes.
So why are you spending time on it now, thinking about how it's gonna end out?
Well, because I have to visualize how it's going to be, and once you visualize the final project, the final step, all right, then it manifests itself. But you have to be able to see it fully in order to know what it is.
Don't get ahead of yourself. Just put it in motion and do what you have to do to it now and just let it go.
I do, but it came back to me and I had a lot of revisions to make, so I sent it back, and now it's in the process of getting packaged. So, now it's almost out of my hands. It will be probably in the next day or two. I mean, by Monday, it'll be in their hands completely at that point. So,
Well, Leo, you should have had this done a long time ago, but all I can say is just watch what you're doing and realize that you don't...
George, it took me 5 years to write it and 10 years to experience it, you know?
There you go.
So it's like, but no, it became a very important thing for me to do, but very important for some reason. And then, and of course, the video that I'm putting together with you for our nightly shows here, that's taken a considerable amount of time. And so once I have those two together, I'll have manifested my vision, you know?
There you go, Leo.
I have this vision of these things, and I know exactly what I want them to look like and be, but I just have to, you know, be able to find enough time and get into the right inspiration to be able to piece the soundtrack to the video and have enough time to do all that. You know what I mean?
It sounds like a project, Leo.
Well, it's probably about a 40-hour project right now, just on that video alone. It's completely done. And
is that good or bad?
That's bad, because I'd rather it be like, done, right? So, but I know I got to spend probably another, well, if not 20 hours, maybe another 40 hours on it before it's ready to go.
Leo, the fun is the journey there, my friend.
it's not as much fun as you think getting there, because the frustrating part, it's like it's there already, it's in you, and it's being produced, or it is produced, but it's just that the final pieces of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pieces of it, the perfection of it, to make it good, is what you to make it work. That's that extra. I think it was Edison that said, "Genius is 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration."
Inspiration, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's like, you know.
Yeah.
90% of what you're doing is just pushing that rock up the hill, and the inspiration is how to get it to the summit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoy it, but I'd rather wish it would be faster, you know. And that's my only complaint.
Well, I just want to keep up with it. That's all, the best I can.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, with what's going on out there in the real world, it is crazy and it's funny. It really is.
Oh,
things
God,
are happening so damn quick.
Well, that's kind of what this book reflects, is the craziness, and there's a lot of satire in the book too.
Yeah.
And it shows this, the insanity of what's going on. And it's a critical analysis of the insanity of different philosophies that seem to be permeating our entire society with, mass murderers and tea parties and, and crazy people everywhere, you know?
Well.
So, but, I mean, I think this is a reflects the times that the book does, because it's kind of like a journal of essays. It goes back all the way to 2004.
Yeah.
And documents all the news events and from 2004 to 2009. So it's quite a, I don't know, it's pretty intense.
No, my I had a
words 450 pages or something like that.
My good friend David Heller sent me an email and. It was a connecting the movie 2012, the Internet movie. Have you seen that, Leo?
I've seen the trailer, but I haven't seen the movie, no.
All right, the trailer is for the movie that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
In the theaters, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, this is the Internet version.
Right.
And I think you can get it through Google or YouTube. And I think there's 16 segments. It's broken it into 16 segments.
Wow.
And it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I will, yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. go ahead. Yeah, I broke in there. I'm sorry.
Well, I've seen the trailer for the 2012 movie that's coming out from Hollywood. And it's scarier. It's very, very scary. You know, it's like that's the end of it.
LA, the world,
you know,
falling in, and cults waiting to be taken to heaven, and all kinds of crazy stuff. I saw it. It's just a bizarre. I hope that the movie lives up to the trailer, because a lot of times they don't. Yeah. You know?
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know. A lot of times they cram the best stuff in 1 minute there, the rest of it sucks. But,
well, what I should say is we'll see what happens, what the movie produces, but, you know, that is not the 2012 scenario that is depicted by the Mayans, believe me.
Yeah.
That is not it. But, you know, this is just a Hollywood view.
Yeah,
or
no,
a negative point of view.
But if you get enough people believing that the end was near, look at this is what will happen, then what happens is it becomes self-fulfilling, you know?
That's right, and it will happen.
It will happen. It's like 1984, you know?
Right, right.
A self-fulfilling state. So, I don't know.
We can look at it through quantum physics and understand, you know, as a fractal reference, is that, that reality will be played out. Because there are many realities being played out at the same time.
Well, Peter Moon mentioned in one of his books that you feed the grid, okay?
Yes.
And in other words, so much attention gets focused into the grid, all right, which is crisscrossing the planet, right?
Yes.
But so much gets focused into the grid that the grid suddenly widens and expands and erupts, and this is the psychic grid that all of these negative emotions that go into the world, and it erupts into these wars and plagues and all kinds of stuff. Whereas if you started to feed positive energy, positive thoughts into that grid, okay.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed, it would neutralize the negative thoughts and stabilize the planet, stabilize
mm-hmm.
your life, stabilize
right
everything. So the grid aspect is fascinating. I think that's what's happening. This movie is just another feeding of that grid of negative thoughts. You know.
Right. Right. Well,
No, I think it's lost. You know what I think is fascinating is the word, the apocalypse.
Yes.
The apocalypse is basically, what it means is to unveil, all right?
Mm-hmm.
To unveil. And apocalypse is like Calypso was the goddess, she was a nymph, actually, one of the seven nymphs, muses,
right.
Created by Zeus. But apocalypso, it means the unveiling of Calypso. All right? And the interesting thing is Calypso was the muse of history, all right? And she was the guardian of history.
There you have it.
So the unveiling of history, all right, is what the apocalypse means. So we connect with ourselves. That's when we connect with ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's what that means, and that's what the Mayans mean, essentially. And we're going to. I guess that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I guess that's what's happening. We're evolving and connecting with our destiny.
Well, destiny. You take a look at what's going on with the United States here, with the world. But understand that, you know, with the same type of experience, Rome fell. And, you know, in what Terrence McKenna, in Following a Novelty, this 2012 and the time that we're in right now is just closing out of or coming to an end of this novelty that we've experienced.
Right.
And including all these different civilizations or heights of awareness that we've achieved over our expanded times.
Right.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Leo, but if nothing, whatever we can imagine, whatever we have imagined, it's going to be brought up to the surface or going to be laid on the table, and we're going to look at it for a last time, or the first time for some, but maybe for the last time for many. And those are the choices that we're making, and we have no choice other than to view and receive them, you know, understanding the experiences we're going through, because it's synchronicity in its own course, synchronizing, you know, just the relationships that we have to this world and the people that's in it, and how other people are. We are part of the synchronicity for their reality as much as our own. But now is the time where it's all coming together, and it's being played out not only on a conscious level but on a subconscious level. And if nothing else, some of the evils of this world is actually part of the battles that we've been experiencing with the bloodlines. And this is something that happens over a period of times. And understanding, and this is part of the novelty that we've experienced, you know, with the ending of these times. And part of that is the bloodlines and the powers that be, which include not only a life from this planet, but also from outside planets outside of our solar system. And
I just interrupt for 1 second.
We have
a minute left before we stop streaming. We'll still be recording the program, but we won't be going out live over the internet. So, if you anybody would like to call in 646-915-9505, please do that now, and I can hook you up, and you can continue with the conversation. Anyone would like to, I don't know, if anybody has any questions for us, please just send them to us. LASteelShow.org or LASteelTV at yahoo.com, or George, if you want to give out your
sure, at Brother Dixon at AOL.com.
Okay.
That's D-I-C-K-S-O-N.
Yeah. If you have any questions for George or anything you'd like to ask him, please check do that. And George, So we get 21 seconds before we stream out, but we can stay on for a while. I just want to say goodnight to those who are listening, and please check out our archives for the rest of the conversation.
Thanks for listening, folks. But what's being played out, I think, in Washington or in Wall Street right now, Leo, is part of that bloodline battle that's going on, and that's with the bankers, the worldwide bankers, you know.
Right.
And who's to say that the pharmaceutical companies aren't part of that too? I mean, it's all part of a power struggle that's being played out.
Oh, it is. It really is. Now you don't know. You really don't know.
But they are tied together, though, Leo.
Yeah, they are.
One is relying on the other one. So if one falls, the other one's going to be affected. You know, I'm looking right now at how the military is responding to the situation with the Fort Hood.
Yeah.
Because they have some real problems that they have to deal with. And the next couple of years, I mean, with the pressures over in the Middle East the way they are, you know, it's not going to get any better.
Oh, I'd hate to be a Muslim right now in the military. My God, after this thing.
Yeah, well.
It'd be pretty rough to be a Muslim.
Yeah, but Leo, you got to understand that there are some good Muslims out there.
Of course. No, I'm saying it's got to be tough to be one in the military right now.
Yeah. it's going to be interesting. The truth of the matter is that we all have two eyes and two arms and two legs, and you know, we all have a heart that pumps, so we're all equal to one another.
Oh, all right. Yeah. No, you're right. We're all on the same level somewhere.
We're all on the same boat. And nobody gets off the planet alive. You know that, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's what they say.
Well, I don't know. I have a different vision of heaven than probably you do, or Obama does, or anybody does. But I kind of like my vision, you know, and I'm going to stick with it. And if it bothers me, then you know. If later on, then I'll change it. But I kind of like the road. I like what I see as the potential of a heaven on earth. You know,
yeah.
And I might as well, you know, work for that rather than a hell on earth, right? So that's my thought.
I wish I had more time on this earth. I really do, because my time is. I mean, all our times are limited. You know.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But you know, I got to say that I've gone through a regular seasoning up of a person, and I experienced a good life. You know, I raised a family. I've owned real estate. I've had a job. I retired. But I wish I could not do it all over again, but redo it again. You know, and incorporate a lot of other different aspects of me personally that
I don't know why. I think that's why they have reincarnation, because they just send you back, you know. You decide you want to come back and redo things. But
yeah.
I don't want to do that anymore, George.
When I go, I
want this to be the last one, you know what I mean? I don't want to have to come back to Earth and straighten stuff out and, you know, get married again and have any kids and
Oh, come on, Leo.
Over again. I have to start a business. I had bullshit to that.
The truth of the matter is that you created that yourself.
No,
you...
heaven to me is just a, you know, to be perfectly sedated, you know, in the oneness of being, you know. And that to me is heaven. You know, where everything you've ever desired, you know, is yours, and because it's complete, you know, you're complete. So you don't desire anything. You're just, you know, just one big, complete, happy egg. You know what I mean? That's what I want to be. One big, complete, happy egg.
Yeah.
For eternity, sitting in my Merkaba, you know?
There you go.
You know, running around wherever I want to go, you know, that kind of thing. So that's my thought of eternity, you know. And I hope that might be possible. And, you know, and I'll wave to you my Merkaba and when I pass you, George.
Okay.
And we'll pass each other on the same highway there.
Highway? We don't need no highways, Leo.
We pass each other on Friday nights usually, and it's like, hello, George, how you doing, you know?
There you go. There you go.
Beeping our horns. Great, we used to do that as when I was in high school, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody was out riding their cars around. Beep, hey, beep, hey, 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 hey. You know, that kind of thing on the main highway.
No. You know what? When I was running around in cars, I didn't do stupid stuff like that.
I was normally
entertaining a girlfriend.
Cruising down Main Street. Yeah, we're having a great time, you know. My big old Ford custom sedan wagon that fit nine girls. Yeah.
I remember a radio in the car before they had FM radio. Everything was AM.
Everything was what?
AM radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It was all AM radio.
That's right. FM was really bootleg radio where you know, pirating radio.
Yeah.
But it was the best radio because you had stereo.
Yeah.
You didn't have it normally, AM, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Those are good times. When FM came in, it was wonderful, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they played all the music you liked, you know?
That's right, that's right.
And it was good. It changed a lot. I'm one of the few guys on FM, well, not really anymore, but FM was never known for talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
No, it wasn't, no.
And When I started on radio on FM, it wasn't popular. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just basically music and you know that kind of stuff. Most
well,
of the,
yeah. I go back to I remember my love was Long John Neville late at night, and he had an AM radio show. But years later, you know, in the New York area. You had quite a few shows, just like Joel Martin, WBAB.
That was FM?
That was FM, yeah.
Yeah.
And you had WBAI in New York. That was a listener-sponsored station, FM.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a lot of good shows and on there.
Yeah, they do. Those stations are coming alive now.
Yeah, talk shows, yeah.
The little stations are picking up. But, you know, I've been fortunate that I've been on for 7 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
On the commercial talk radio, which is different than non-commercial talk, because you got to, the only one bigger than we are, well, actually, we're bigger. We got a much wider audience than NPR does
mm-hmm.
in our market area.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1, 2, 3, actually. There's three stations that we are here and that cover the upstate New York area there, which is Q103, 98.1, and 93.3, which is, or it was 90.3, which is NPR. So those are the three basic FM stations, you know. And,
well, radio has taken an evolution, you know, talk radio.
Almost all talk shows.
Yeah.
Except for 98.1. But, you know, a lot of them are talk shows now.
A lot of them got out of hand, too. I remember Howard Stern.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think he was WNBC Radio, AM, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to FM.
He went to WCCC. In Hartford, and that's where he started. That's where he got into the alternative shit that he started to do. And
is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, he was wacko macko, man. He was nuts. And then he got hired by NBC to do the Howard Stern show, nationally syndicated.
Right.
And that was huge for him.
Right.
And you know, so he's yeah, then but he got so bizarre he had to go underground, you know. He had to go to satellite.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, he had some raunchy stuff. I mean, he used to play off of who's that, Don Imus, because Don Imus had a show on WNBC too.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Yeah, and they used to play off one another.
Right.
And but Howard Stern got his own powerhouse there, and he was getting dirtier every year or every month.
Oh, now he's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, he's got stuff up on YouTube. Not YouTube. On E, rather. E Magazine or something.
Yeah.
He was on E. But now I think he's either pay-per-view or something. He's way off on the charts now.
Okay.
You can pick him up on those stations. And then he's doing a lot of porn. A lot of porn on his shows. He always has.
Well, that's good. You know, whatever he wants, you know, like water, it seeks its own level. And if there are people interested in following him, you know, the power to him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I feel I'm happy for him, you know.
Yeah.
But understand that you know, water seeks its own level, and you can only expect, you know, the same from what you put out there.
Yeah. That's true. So now we're at a point now, I think, where we're I'm on cruise control in a way, and I just have to focus, you know, keep the car on the road. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That's the key, and I think that's probably what everybody's gonna do. But
and the trick of that is don't take everything so serious.
Just keep focused on the road. Yeah.
Yeah, but Leo, we have so many options now available to us that, you know, when we think we've hit the dead end,
yeah.
There's always an open door somewhere, and that's good. The part of the good aspect of these times that we're in,
right.
We have another option available to us, and if we hold out long enough, an option will present itself. So that's the saving grace that we have.
Right.
But you know, it's just having the patience or believing that, and it will come. You'll have it.
I believe you, George. I really do.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen so many times in my life.
Yeah.
I believe it. It's just that some things take longer because they're so much bigger.
Yeah.
To manifest, you know, the dream is bigger, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's coming. It's definitely coming. It'll be here.
There you go.
I can see the end of it. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So,
well, I'm going to keep an eye on I think the national news at this point, because
that'll give you a good idea of what not to believe.
Yeah.
Whatever you see there, don't believe it. Yeah. You know, so there's something more.
or believe that you're seeing some kind of a screen, and I think that's. That's all that's happening right now. The screens are being lowered, and you're seeing things for what they are.
That's right. That's right.
And you can't hide them or camouflage them anymore.
Right.
And this example of this fellow going berserk is, you know, just part of that.
Yeah, it's the Wizard of Oz, you know?
Yeah.
The cat comes out from behind the big machine and big loudspeakers.
And regardless of you thinking you have the tools to deal with this or, you know, to prevent it and so forth, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And you can talk to your blue in the face, but, you know.
There's always somebody smarter than you are out there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kick in the ass. Whenever you think that you're you got to figure it out, somebody got something else figured out, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
You know, you're just at one level. But we've come a long way, George, and we've discovered a lot of things on this show together. And we really have, and a lot of people have appreciated these programs because our ratings have been very good for Friday night shows. And I wanted to mention that. Lila is in New York, so she apologize for not being on the show. She's in Washington, D.C., rather. says she sends her apologies for not being on the program. And
no, she's a busy girl.
Yeah, well, it was, yeah. So, anyway, you got anything else you want to add, George, or should we call it a night?
No, I think we'll call it a night here, and, you know, I'm staying tuned, you know, for the next act two or act three.
Good one. Hey, what on the timeline? Just for the heck of it, what is the timeline we're at now? What year?
1972.
Wow. Wow.
1972.
Oh, interesting. 72.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a big year.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was a pivotal year in my life, 1972.
Yeah.
Very pivotal. I got married the year later.
There you go.
Yeah, and that was the year that I broke away from my, I was only 19. And I left home. I hitchhiked around a while and wound up in Connecticut. And, it was really interesting. But that was the year that was a changing year. I graduated in 71, you know.
There you have.
Yeah, so kind of cool. Yeah, so I guess, that was the craziest year of my life, actually.
there were some good years, good years.
I know, I got kicked out of the university for my first semester. That was really bad.
Yeah.
So that's why I wound up on the road for a while. I had to and then wound up down here and went to and finished college, and you know, so really, really bizarre. It must have been an interesting star or something in my future.
Well, I did a lot of traveling.
72?
Yeah, 72, 73, yeah, new car, and had a great time just traveling the States.
Now, maybe that was what that year was. It was kind of a year of drifting, you know. I really loved that year in a lot of ways.
Well, it was the conquering of those 60s, if you'd want to call it that.
Yeah, I really exploded in a way because I was from a small town in Maine,
mm-hmm.
and I had a lot of dreams, a lot of ambitions, and no fear. I was too stupid to have fear, you know. And if I feared anything, it was excitement. I was like, you know. I enjoyed excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple of suitcases and no car, a couple hundred bucks on me, and I took off on that for the rest of my life. It was a journey, and I had my guitar in my hand because I played guitar, and that was it.
Those were the times of the women's live.
Yeah, I did.
The breaking away of men and women.
Yeah,
but in a manner of speaking,
it was better than that. It was kind of like with me, it was more of a sense of freedom, you know, that go anywhere and just believe in myself, you know, that I'll get there. And it's just bizarre the wonderful experiences I had that year.
Mm-hmm.
That led me to the doorstep of the woman that I married, a year later. And fascinating ride.
Yeah, but the roles that we played, when I say play, you know, a male and a female, were much different. They were changing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there was a professional world for both sides, for both male and female, that had to be acknowledged. And, you know, from a person who I married a woman who had an education, so it's not a matter of questioning, you know, her authority or her knowledge. It was just casting the role that I played as a male of the provider for the family, and as a woman as a secondary income, if you'd want to call it that. And you know, it was an altogether different world. And the one thing I did learn is that, you know, each of us are professionals in what we do and how we do it. and it's accepting and understanding that from the start that I think helped me in dealing with the changes that I've gone through.
Right.
And that's also raising a family of girls, you know.
Yeah, God, yeah.
But,
I don't mind it's becoming feminized.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was those years, 1971 to 73 or to 74, that actually were the grace years, or everything was fine and dandy then, you know.
Yeah.
They worked out, but as an altogether different world.
Well, maybe it was a gateway year. You know, I think it might have been a gateway year for me, in that it opened up the world to me and my potential and my dreams and my goals were very, very rigid at the time. I knew what I wanted to do, but you know, getting there would be without any connections or without any, you know, any rhyme or reason. You consider me the fool of the tarot card. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I was. Yeah, the fool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was at that age. I was like the fool. I was like the innocent fool, just kind of like going along my way. You know.
Yeah.
Without any cares, it's like just forget about it. And you know, I remember hitchhiking in the rain. You know, and I remember, you know, I had a poncho on. It was miserable, but I was sitting there, you know, and you know, just hanging out, waiting for somebody to come by on the highway, and they stopped. It was legal to hitchhike back then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nice people would stop and then pick you up and then drive you to the next city or wherever you were. Sometimes you get a big. Sometimes somebody would pick you up who was going your way and it could give you a 5 or 6 hour ride, you know.
So it
was fun. It was fun. That's before it became dangerous, you know. Now there's too many assassinations with crazy people on the road. Back then it was hitchhiking was an honorable way to get around, you know. And there were so many of us on the road hitchhiking. I used to meet so many hitchhikers on the road. And guys like me just kind of going nowhere, you know. Yeah. Where are you going? Oh, I don't know. I'm going up to one guy. This guy was so dazed and confused. We had an exit ramp in, Connecticut somewhere. I don't know.
Well, you know, it was also a time, Leo.
But you know, let me just say,
in the war.
I remember running into them. There was two guys that were there. And one guy was barefoot, and he had a bald head, and a couple of bad ear piercings. And he was all hyped up on something. And the other guy was a little more sober. And he goes, "Hey, where are you guys headed?" "Oh, man, I'm going to Kentucky." "Going to Kentucky?" "Yeah, no, he's going to Wisconsin. He's going to Wisconsin." "Yeah, we're both going to Wisconsin." He said, "Oh, I'll come." I said, "Yeah, why are you going up there?" "And we both got jobs at the fair up there. There's a big fair. And we're going to be running some of the carnies there." I said, "Oh, yeah?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "You want to join us?" He says, "It's quite a ways. I was in New York, all right? These guys were headed on their way, New York Turnpike, these guys were headed on their way to Wisconsin."
Yes.
Yeah, that's the kind of crazies you met on the road, you know.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, so many funny people. But that was 72. It was a great year. It was an excellent year, actually. But so much of that.
Different reality, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It will give us something to talk about, Leo, because those years.
I'll write a story on it. The 1972.
1972, yeah.
Yeah.
What I was saying before is that, you know, remember, we were strong with Vietnam at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a whole other ball of wax, and of course...
I was working on a 2Y deferment there. I had a 2Y deferment, which was deferred me for college, right?
Yeah,
college deferment.
Right, right, yeah.
And I wound up getting booted out of college, so I was right in line for the draft.
Yeah.
Thank God my lottery number came in, and I was like 345 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I never got called, which is great. And the war ended in 74, so. But I, that was, those are very interesting times.
Yeah, but I could also see a recirculating year of the draft coming up soon.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
I hope not, because I remember being scared to death when I got my registration in the mail.
Right, yeah.
And I was 18 years old. It's like they get you, you know, you must register for the draft within 30 days, blah, 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 your birthday, you know.
Well, this sixth night is going to be interesting to follow. That's all I could say, Leo.
Yeah.
And like I said, we just started last week or yesterday. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Gay.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later, and thanks for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it.
All right, well, I appreciate being with you, Leo, and God be with you, my friend.
You too, Bill.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye.
And I want to thank everyone who joined us for their company, and I hope you can join us again next week. Lila will be with us, and join us next Wednesday. Next Wednesday will be on Tuesday night on WQQQ.com. At 8 o'clock, 8 to 10, I'll be interviewing John McManus, the president of the John Birch Society. John, I've had John on my shows a number of times the last several years, and he is a very interesting guy. He's got a lot to say, and I hope you, and I'll be replaying that interview, Tuesday night's interview, which you can get on WQQQ.com, and at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And John will be talking about the economy and Obamacare and all these issues from an arch-conservative viewpoint, which is what the John Birch Society represents. They're constitutionalists, and you can say, and they consider themselves patriots and, for the American way of life, and so on and so forth. So, I have to talk to them. Please join me Wednesday night for that interview, and I want to thank you and have a pleasant evening.